Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship today comes from the 34th Psalm. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for those who fear him have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Let us join together now in our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the 7th chapter of Revelation, verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing there before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple, and the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." If you have your Bibles, join me as we read our scripture text from the book of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning we are observing the celebration of All Saints Day. Each year, All Saints Day falls on November 1st and, as an aside, has also been known throughout the centuries as All Hallows Day. Thus, the other holiday that has been celebrated in recent days, All Hallows Eve, or Halloween. Historically, All Saints Day began as a commemoration of the martyrs who had died for their Christian faith, but over the years, it has evolved into a day when we honor and remember all the saints, those who in death have joined the church triumphant, as well as the faithful saints of the present who serve Jesus Christ. Martin Luther held that all Christians are at the same time both sinner and saint. Sinners because of our rebellious nature, but saints because of our salvation in Christ Jesus. So today, we celebrate all the saints. All those who have died in faith and are now living on the other side of eternity, as well as all of those who are still here, living in faith on this side of eternity, including each of us here this morning. And the thing I'd like us to focus on together this All Saints Sunday is its connection to the church's teaching about the communion of saints. I'm sure this phrase, the communion of saints, sounds familiar to you because it is a part of our historical Christian confession in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. What we are celebrating today on All Saints Day is connected to the teaching of the communion of saints, the idea that all of God's people in heaven and on earth are spiritually connected and united. In other words, Christians believe that the saints of God in heaven are just as alive as you and I, and that we are woven together in a tight-knit communion. When we are deprived of loved ones, it is a tremendous shock. For the time, we are stunned. Not everyone can feel at once their continuing companionship. We should not, for that reason, despair at all. An adjustment must take place in our lives, reaching deep into our habits, our emotions, and our thoughts. Some souls may make this adjustment quickly. For most of us, it comes slowly and hard. Many an hour is filled with loneliness and agonizing doubt. By ourselves, we can never make this adjustment. We must come to a sense of the continuing presence of our loved ones, and we can do this if we realize the presence of our living Lord. As we seek and find our risen Lord, we shall find our dear departed. They are with Him, and we find the reality of their continued life through Him. The saints are a part of the church. We worship with them. They worship the risen Christ face to face while we worship the same risen Christ under the veil of bread and wine at the altar. At the communion, we are linked with heaven, with the communion of saints, with our loved ones. Here at the altar, focused to a point, we find our communion with the dead, for the altar is the closest meeting place between us and our Lord. That place must be the place of closest meeting with our dead who are in His keeping. The altar is the trysting place where we meet our beloved Lord. It must therefore also be the trysting place where we meet our loved ones, for they are with the Lord. How tragic it is to see men and women going out to the cemetery, kneeling at the mound of dirt, placing little sprays of flowers and wiping their tears from their eyes, knowing nothing else. How hopeless they look. On that, we could take them by the hand away from the grave, out through the cemetery gate, in through the door of the church house, and up the nave to this very altar itself, and there put them in touch, not with the dead body of their loved one, but with a living soul who is with Christ at the altar. Our human nature needs more than the assurance that someday, in some way, we shall again meet our loved ones in heaven. That is all gloriously true, but how does that help us now? When we, then, view death in the light of the communion of saints and holy communion, there is no helpless bereavement. My loved one has just left me and has gone on a journey, but I am in touch with her. I know that there's a place where we can meet. It's at the altar. How it thrills me when I hear the words of the liturgy, therefore with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. For I know that she is there with that company of heaven and the communion of saints with the Lord. The nearer that I come to my Lord in Holy Communion, the nearer I come to the saints, my own loved ones. I'm a member of the body of Christ. I'm a living cell in that spiritual organism, partaking of the life of the other cells and sharing in the body of Christ Himself. There's nothing fanciful or unreal about this. Indeed, it is the most real thing in our lives. Of course, we miss our loved ones. We would miss them if they took a long holiday trip, but now, since they are what some people call dead, they are closer to us possibly than ever before. Of course, we miss their physical presence bitterly. We miss their voices and the sound of their approaching footsteps. But we have not lost them. And when our sense of loss becomes too great, we can always go to our meeting place at the altar where we receive the body and the blood of our Lord that preserves our body and our soul just as it has preserved our loved ones into everlasting life. Do you learn to love the altar as the meeting place with our beloved who's passed beyond the veil? Here again, the sacrament is the heart of our religion. The sacrament links us not merely to Bethlehem and Calvary, but to the whole wide world beyond the grave as well. For at the altar, the infinite is shrined in the finite, and heaven stoops down to the earth, and the seen and the unseen meet together. How truly blessed we are to be a part of this incredible reality. The final phrase of the proper preface, the text within our own book of worship, states that, "And as so, with people on earth and all the company of heaven," speaks so clearly and so beautifully of this reality. What we must always remember when we go to the Lord's Supper is that we commune with Christ. And wherever Christ is, there is heaven. And this communion includes all the saints who have died and risen in Christ. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Ruth, Peter, Paul, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, perhaps even our spouses, our siblings, or our children, and all the saints now living all over the world, and those still to come. After someone dies, it's good to think of them at the Lord's Supper, knowing that as we commune here below at the table of the Lamb and we sing His songs, we join together with them, since they are simultaneously communing at the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom that knows no end. And they're singing the songs of the Lamb with angels and archangels, and they're praising Him for His victory over death and the grave for us and for our salvation, just as it was revealed to John in His vision. May the Holy Spirit enlighten you and bless you to realize that in Christ, in that great mystery of our union with Him, you are joined to all who are joined to Him. Let us pray. O God, the King of saints, we bless Your holy name, O God, for all Your servants who have finished their course and now rest from their labors. We pray, Father, for the Blessed Mary, the holy patriarchs, the prophets, the apostles, the martyrs, and all Your other righteous servants. Give us grace to follow the example of their steadfastness and the faithfulness to Your honor and Your glory. Through Christ Jesus, we pray these things, as He taught His disciples to pray, by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Was great.
This is Pastor Jeremy Gratz. This week, Americans from around the globe will come together to place their mark or otherwise select their candidate for local, state, and national political offices, as well as decide their opinion on initiatives that surround our world today. I, like you, have my own beliefs, and I will vote my conscience on Tuesday. But when it is all said and done, we need to recall that no matter who becomes president, senator, representative, judge, or mayor, or even whether taxes increase or not, there is one constant. There is one that we can rely on. That is the lordship of our King, Jesus Christ. Romans 13 says that, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." Sadly, men and leaders will fail us, even those given the authority instituted by God. We have assurance, though, that in Christ, all will be set right. It might not be made right on earth, well, those of us that follow him know how the story ends, don't we? Remember that despite of what happens this Tuesday, next Tuesday, or even on January the 20th, Christ Jesus is still on the throne and that we will face joy and peace in his kingdom. Do you have the peace of God given through the blood of Jesus Christ who forgives you of every sin and every transgression that you have made and will make in your life? If so, I stand united with you as brothers and sisters in him as we await his return to be called to our eternal home. If you do not have that relationship with Christ, if you have not asked him for his forgiveness, take a second, pray with me right now. Pray with me, say, "God, I'm a sinner. Without Jesus, I am nothing. But because I accept Jesus as the Savior of my life, I know that I am forgiven and now have the gift of eternal life through him. Amen." See how easy that is? If you prayed that prayer with me, we rejoice in your decision and are excited about all the wonderful things that are about to happen in your life. The people of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church want to celebrate with you, especially during this time of fear and insecurity. We join together to be reminded of the security that we have as Christ's very own. How can we pray for you? You can give me a call at 479-553-9585, or you can drop me an email at pridgeumc@gmail.com. We'd love the opportunity to pray with you or to tell you more about the Christ that changes our lives and the world, even in times of pandemic or elections. Peace be with you in the name of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps run down on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gratz at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.